Let's lift up an offering of praise to the Lord. Well, I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the founding senior pastor here. Thanks so much for joining with us. If you're watching online, you're out on the patio, thank you for being with us as well. Just in light of what Pastor Jordan kind of led us in, this is not a trick question. But if you're here on our campus, if you're at home, I want you to respond by raising your hand if you want God to bless your life. If you want God to bless your life, raise your hand. Okay, I can't see you at home, but I'm assuming you've responded the way everybody here did. Yes, I want a blessing. In fact, if you think about it, most of our prayers are in some way or another tied to asking God to bless us. The way we think, what we want, what good thing we would love to come into our lives, what we think would glorify God, what we think would be an encouragement to others, we ask God for that. We ask God to bless us, and we do it because we know something about His nature. God is a blesser. In fact, God wants to bless us more than we want Him to bless us. He's infinite in His capacity, desire, nature, attributes. So as a blesser, He is infinite in that regard, and He has an infinite heart towards us to bless our lives. And we're going to see in a passage that we're going to look at, very, very short passage, two verses, really just one verse, how Jesus actually tells us how we can be blessed. We're in this series. It's called The Master's Teaching. We're just looking at the gospel, sections by section in the gospel, about what Jesus actually taught, about what it means to know God, walk with the Lord, be a follower of Jesus, live our lives according to God's plan. And we saw that Jesus had a lot about prayer. And then last week, we talked about how Jesus talked about there's a reality of the spiritual battle, but Jesus is greater. He has authority. And so we're just continuing in Luke chapter 11, seeing what Jesus is teaching. And what Jesus has to teach us is about blessing. And I want to let you know, this is my desire, that in the next 30 minutes, you will see from God's word how much Jesus wants to bless you. You will understand exactly the conditions to receive that blessing, and you'll be motivated and actually expecting as you walk out of this building or as you get up out of the patio or as you get up from sitting around in your pajamas on a couch at home to actually step into the blessing that God has for you. I want you to live in the blessing that Jesus wants to give you. So this is Luke chapter 11. Jesus has taught on prayer. Jesus has talked about His authority over evil spirits and demons and that He's greater than any spiritual opposition that would come into our lives. And someone in the crowd responds, and it says in verse 27, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. Verse 28, He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. This message, I'm simply entitling it, Blessed, because God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to live in His blessing. God wants us to know His blessing. God wants us to walk in the fullness of His blessing. Blessed. This idea, this concept is something that is familiar if you've read much of the Bible or even if you've looked at the teachings of Jesus, because Jesus uses this blessing formula to speak into people's lives. The word is the Greek word makarios. It's the word in the New Testament every time blessed is there, and it means to be happy, to be envied, to be fortunate, to be favored, to be blessed. It's a good thing. When God blesses us, He's giving us a good thing. God wants His goodness to come over us and to fill us and to empower us. And Jesus uses this formula of blessing people in many of His teachings. If you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, the very beginning of that sermon we call the Beatitudes, which means the blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. In Matthew chapter 13, speaking to those who were in the audience who heard his words and saw the Messiah personally, he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In Matthew chapter 16, after Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It was my Father who is in heaven. In Matthew 24, when Jesus talks about being faithful and expecting his second coming, he said, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. In Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about separating the sheep and the goats, he says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus picks up a little child, and he said, blessed are these children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In Luke chapter 14, he says, when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. In Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection, it says he led them out to Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And then while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. John's Gospel, John chapter 13, after Jesus washes the disciples' feet and explains what that meant, it says, Jesus looked at his followers and said, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And in John chapter 20, appearing to his disciples, proving that he had physically risen from the dead, Jesus said, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet also believe. So on numerous occasions, Jesus used this blessing formula. And if you go back into the Old Testament and just do a word search of bless, you'll see it's used all over the Old Testament as well. So this was a very typical biblical pattern to pronounce blessing over someone's life. And it's a good thing. It's always a good thing. And in the nature of the case, since Jesus is the Son of God, it's God pronouncing blessing. You see, God wants to bless us. But one of the things you observe, especially in seeing how Jesus uses this blessing, is that when God names something as a blessing, it's not always what we expect. In other words, we tend to categorize God's blessing in a very particular, specific way. And when things come into our lives that don't fit that, we don't tend to accept them or see them as blessings. We were talking about this as pastors kind of reviewing this passage and kind of brainstorming about what God was saying in it. And we all agreed that the typical evangelical Christian in America, when they think about being blessed, what they think about is the American dream just baptized with some spiritual language. See, if that's you, that means when you think about being blessed, you have an idea of what that looks like, which is really just the American dream, but you put kind of a Christian veneer on it. When Jesus talks about being blessed, it doesn't always line up with that. In fact, some of the things that Jesus actually says are a blessing we wouldn't want in our lives. But Jesus says they're actually a blessing. So we know it's a good thing. We know it's something from God. We know it's filled with his wisdom and his purpose and his goodness. John Piper says this, and I think this is insightful. What then is a blessing? Scripture shows us that blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him. Anything that God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. Anything that helps us relinquish the temporal hold and seek more the eternal. Blessings always flow out of God's goodness and his design for his children, and they always coincide with obedience to his will. So what that tells me, and when you look at these scriptures, and I start putting a lot of scriptures together, God wants to bless us. So everything that happens in our lives, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we love Jesus, we've opened up our hearts to Jesus, we've asked Jesus to forgive our sins, we've asked Jesus to be the center of our lives. If we've done that, everything that happens in our lives is one of three things. Either one, it's a good thing that we've actually asked for. Because Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him? So what's happening in our lives is that good thing that we ask for. Or it's something that God is using to transform us and change us to become just like Jesus. Romans 8, 28 and 29. For we know that all things work together for our good to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So, you want to be like Jesus? Well, God is using what's happening in your life to help you become like Jesus. That means it's a good thing. It's a blessing. Or it's something that opens the opportunity for us to be used by God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, by the way, writing from a Roman prison cell, he says, I rejoice in the Lord because my chains have actually worked out for the greater progress of the gospel. So he was rejoicing, even though he was in prison, because that was leveraging the gospel going out and people hearing about Jesus and being saved. You see, God wants to bless our lives. It may not be the kind of blessing we expect, but that's just because we're cultural Christians rather than biblical Christians. When you become a biblical Christian, you realize that everything that God is doing in your life is either answering your prayer for a good thing or working to conform you to become more like Jesus or leveraging you to be a servant of the Lord and blessing other people. See, Jesus wants to bless our lives. He wants to. And so I want you to walk out of here. Now you got about 20 more minutes. Listen to me blab. But when that 20 minutes is over, I want you to fully be convinced God wants to bless my life. This is the condition in which God will bless my life, and I know exactly what I'm going to do so that I can experience God's blessing in my life. The conditions for being blessed, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear and obey God's word. Blessed are those who hear and obey God's word. Now, that term God's word actually can mean a couple of things. There are two Greek words for the English word. One of the words is rhema. That's used in Ephesians chapter 6, where it's talking about the spiritual armor and putting on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and shodding your feet with the gospel of peace and taking up the shield of faith. And then you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's rhema. Rhema means that spoken word, that specific word, that immediate application word. There's another term for word, and that's logos. And in John's gospel, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That term is logos. So rhema means the very specific word. The term logos means the bigger picture word, the whole word in its entirety. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the rhema. This, Genesis to Revelation, is the logos. In the promise that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 11 about being blessed, blessed are those who hear and obey the logos of God. See, there might be some rhemas you're very willing to obey, but others you're not so willing to obey. So Jesus says you got to obey the whole thing from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation. If you hear and obey that, you're going to be blessed. We don't get to pick and choose. If it's a word from God and we hear it and obey it, we'll get blessed. Because sometimes the words from God we love. Sometimes the words from God we're confused. And sometimes the word of God is like, oh, really? But when we hear it and obey it, we're blessed. Because God is a blesser, and he wants to bless us. He wants to give us good things. He wants to make us more like Jesus. He wants to use us to serve his kingdom. The conditions for being blessed are hearing and obeying the word. Now, hearing, that's just the word for hearing. It's just a general word. It just means to hear. Obeying, there's actually a few words that are translated as obeying. And this is a particular word. It's the Greek word phulasso. And it literally means to guard, to watch, to observe diligently, to keep with care. It's the word that describes a shepherd on full alert and watch over the sheep. It's a word that's used to describe a military guard with full, you know, head on a swivel, guarding. Back in the 90s, I had the opportunity to go to Russia, and I went to Moscow. I was on a mission trip. I was training pastors and student leaders in defending and presenting their faith, how to answer questions that was being raised by culture. A lot of it's kind of like what's going to happen in this Maven conference at the end of February, where we're going to be equipped to learn how to respond to the questions that people have and make a positive case for the Christian faith. So I was there training, as I said, pastors and student leaders. And I was in Moscow, so I went to Red Square. And in Red Square, there's Lenin's tomb. And there was a guard on full alert in front of Lenin's tomb. And I happened to be there at the time when they changed the guard. So I'm kind of standing there with a group of other people watching this, and this guard is just like, you know, head on a swivel, totally alert of everything that's going on. And then down at the other end of Red Square came like a group of soldiers all marching in unison, and then they turned, and then they marched right down, and they got right in front of the guard, and then one of them stepped out, and he turned and walked right up to the guard. And literally, in the blink of an eye, they just exchanged places. And then the guard who had been on guard walked back to that troop, and then they marched down Red Square and then went back. So literally, there was no time when the tomb of Lenin was not actively being guarded by a soldier. That's the description that Jesus is setting up to say, you will be blessed if you hear and you guard, keep, obey, persevere in, totally observe my logos, my word. So these conditions are actually being laid out for us. He's making it really clear. I want to bless your life. This is the condition to actually step into full blessing. And it's really a consistent message in the whole Bible. So you go back to the Hebrew scriptures, back to the covenant that God established with his people in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I'm commanding you today, that the Lord your God will put you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come to you and reach you if you obey the Lord your God. Wow. In fact, if you go back and read that, that's Deuteronomy 28, that was verse 1, and you read the next 10 verses, Moses actually describes specifically all the blessings. Your family will be blessed, your household will be blessed, your cattle will be blessed, your children will be blessed, your land will be blessed, your food will be blessed, everything about you will be blessed. I mean, all these blessings. But what's the condition? Obey the commandments of the Lord your God. You kind of move forward in God's kind of kingdom history, and now the people cried out for a king. The Lord answered, gave them Saul as a king. The prophet Samuel comes to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, and it says, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed what God says is better than the fat of rams. So God is saying, what I want more than all your religious practices is heartfelt obedience. That's what I want, heartfelt obedience. And then you move forward into the New Testament, and Jesus kind of introduces the new covenant manifesto in the Sermon on the Mount. And he wraps up, like a good preacher, gives an application to everything he's been teaching. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus says it's hearing and obeying his words that's the foundation for life. Hearing and obeying. You just hear, nothing. You don't get any spiritual brownie points just for hearing. But hearing and obeying, man, you got a foundation. Then James tells us this in James chapter 1. But prove yourselves doers of the word. Doers. And not just hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who has looked intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and has continued in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an active doer, this person will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed? Hear and obey God's word. Hear and obey God's word. And I love the way James describes it because he uses this illustration because he's contrasting being a hearer who doesn't do anything versus being a hearer and a doer. And he talks about a guy who looks at his face in a mirror. Now I'm going to go on a limb here. And I'm going to say that probably, 99% of us here sometime this morning looked at ourselves in a mirror. Before we left the house, we looked at ourselves in a mirror. See, this is what happens. This is not like a big stretch. Let me just tell you. When I get up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror, my hair is sticking out in different places. And sometimes I got crusties in my eyes right there, right there. I go, oh, I got to get that out. And then I got this film on my teeth, I always have a beard. I got to shave or, look like, a cool dude like this guy right here, Sometimes I got zits, I see that when I look in the mirror. James says, the person who hears the word and doesn't do it is like someone who sees that in a mirror, and then rather than kind of taking care of business, they just leave and go into public like that. See, the mirror showed them what needed to be taken care of, but they didn't take care of it. God's word is the mirror that speaks to us. We hear it. And then when we do what it says, that's when we're blessed. Some of us just walk around with crusties in our eyes and boogers in our nose, and we don't do anything about it because we're just hearers. But when we do something about it, that's when we're blessed. In fact, it's called the law of liberty. The Bible is the law of liberty. It sets us free. That's what Jesus said, John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, the truth will set you free. He said that right after saying, if you abide in my words, you are truly disciples of mine. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, God wants to bless us. He really does. But the conditions for being blessed are hearing and obeying God's word. And by the way, that's applicable to wherever we might be in the spiritual journey. There may be some people right here, which I hope, and at home, I hope you're watching, who you would say, I've never stepped into a personal relationship with Jesus. At this point in my life, I could say, I've never confessed Jesus as the Lord of my life. I never believed in his offer of salvation. It's just not something that I've done. Hey, we're glad you're here. We say all the time, this is a safe place to hear a life-changing message. So if that's you, you know what the Bible says? Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he's the greatest Christian, whoever lived, and he's the great proponent of the Christian faith and authored much of the Bible. He was describing, when he wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 1, kind of his mission in sharing this good news about Jesus. And he said, God called me to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus, which is the obedience of faith. He describes it as the obedience of faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, you see, when you say yes to Jesus, you're obeying God. that the first step of the Christian life is an act of obedience. See, the Bible says God commands everybody to repent. Some people say, no, thank you. Some people do what he says, and they repent. It's an act of obedience. So you start the Christian life with an act of obedience, and God blesses obedience. In that case, what's the blessing? Salvation. You get forgiveness. Jesus comes into your life. You have the certainty of heaven. But see, there's others of us here who we're past that step. We're walking now in some kind of journey, but some of us are walking in place. Something's happened, and we're not continuing on to deeper growth and experience with Jesus. See, we're like the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. Jesus tells a story about the man who had two sons. They're both sons. They're both blessed. One stayed and worked for the dad. One took off. But what did he do after he took off? He came back. See, he's off doing his thing, and all of a sudden he realizes, this is not working. This is bankrupt. I was an idiot. Why did I do this? Why did I leave my father? That was a much better situation. And in his heart, he reasoned, I'm going to go ask for his forgiveness and ask if I can come home. And then what did he do with his feet? He turned them in the direction home, and he started walking home. So it was his heart, and then it was his body. He moved home, and when the father saw him, he stood like this and gave him a big lecture, like, yeah, you screwed up, didn't you? Is that what Jesus says the father did? No, the father jumped off the porch, ran and hugged him, put his coat on him, gave him a ring, threw a big party. My son has come home. See, God blesses obedience. The son obeyed and got back on track, and he got blessed for it. Wherever you are in the spiritual continuum, God will bless you for obeying. Because Jesus says, blessed are you if you hear and obey God's word. And why God's word? Why God's word? Because there's life-giving power in the word. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's something about the word of God that's life-giving, life-empowering, life-blessing. So Jesus in John 8 says it's the truth that sets us free. In Psalm 19, he says it restores the soul, it makes us wise, it rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, it gives us a great reward. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says it teaches us, it rebukes us, it corrects us, it trains us in righteousness, equips us for every good work. Romans chapter 10 says it gives us faith. Yeah, the word. God's word will do all of that if we hear it and obey it. If we hear it and obey it, we'll be blessed by God. So you got about 10 more minutes to walk out and be blessed. Because you'll understand that God wants to bless you. You'll know exactly what the conditions are to be blessed, and you'll have a specific game plan of what you can actually do to step into the blessing. So here's my last point. The how-to of being blessed. See, I want you to know exactly how to be blessed, because God wants to bless your life. James 1. You know that passage I said about James 1:22 about the guy in the mirror? You know, prove yourselves doers of the word, not hearers only. If anyone looks at his natural face in the mirror, immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But if you look intently at the perfect law of liberty, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Right before that verse, it says this. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So in other words, it's saying, before you receive the word, there's some stuff you got to get rid of in your heart. Because if you don't get rid of it from your heart, even if you try to receive the word, it'll choke it. it'll inhibit it. It'll stop it from doing what it's supposed to do in your life. Remember what Jesus said in the parable of the four soils in Mark chapter 4? He gives a farmer sowing a seed in one kind of dirt and another kind of dirt and another kind of dirt, and then in the good soil. Well, what was the kind of dirt that was not good soil? Well, it was hard-heartedness, there was rocks in it, and there was a bunch of weeds. But the good soil received the word and it produced fruit. Now, I'm not an agriculturalist, and I don't play one on TV, but I know this from just planting things in my own yard, that you can have soil that's not very good, and you can dig it up, and you can take the rocks and weeds out, and you could add some fertilizer, and it can become pretty good soil. So maybe your heart isn't all that it needs to be. But it can be. You can get it right. You can ask God to help you and get your heart right so you can receive the word and be a hearer and doer and be blessed. That's the whole point, getting blessed. But for some of us, we got to get rid of some stuff out of our hearts so that we can even be at the place to hear and obey God's word. My daughter Kylie works with our youth ministry here. She leads one of the Crux groups. And they're doing a series, a teaching series in the Crux group. So she asked her high school girls, as part of this teaching series, how much time do you spend daily on your cell phone? So these are high school girls connected to our youth ministry. How much time do you spend daily on your cell phone? They all discussed it without any feeling of, you know, guilt or whatever. Just this, boom. This is the average. This is what we would all say, yes. 12 hours a day. Now, set that aside. We're not talking about the high school girls. We're not talking about us. We're talking about person X. Person X spends 12 hours a day on their cell phone. They don't even have much time left to hear and obey God's word. Plus, what are they getting during that 12 hours? Are they getting, you know, Amazing Grace, the Rhema, the Logos of God, good theology, good Bible teaching? No! I mean, they got names of stuff I don't even know. But, you know, I know Facebook, I know Instagram, I know YouTube, I know TikTok, I know Pinterest, and there's a bunch of other things they got that we parents don't know because they know and we can't see what they know. And I'm going to tell you, most of it's junk. So person X, 12 hours a day, even wants to try to hear and obey God's word. And it gets choked and stifled, and it doesn't have any effect. Now, you may not spend 12 hours a day. It may not be your cell phone. It may be Fox News. It may be CNN. But there's maybe some stuff that you got to get out so the good stuff can come in and have an effect. That's the whole point. So if there's anything that you got to get rid of, attitudes, actions, that will free you up to hear and obey, then you'll get blessed. Because remember, you're going to be blessed. Now you only got 3 minutes, and I'm going to tell you how to get blessed. Okay. So you got to get rid of anything that would stand in the way of the word really impacting your life. Hearing and obeying. It's that simple. Jesus says, blessed are those who hear and obey my word. So how do we hear the word? You're hearing it right now. By hearing sermons on Sunday morning worship. Hearing the word of God taught when the body of Christ comes together. You're hearing the word. You're hearing the word when you're in a small group and you have a Bible discussion. You open up scripture and you talk about it. You hear the word. If you have a Bible app on your phone, not everything about a phone is a bad thing. If you have a Bible app on your phone, you can just open that Bible app and you can press a little thing that says, you know, read. And all of a sudden, it comes on in all kinds of voices. You know, you can hear this great British guy talking about the Word of God. In whatever Bible translation you want, you can hear it. So you can get in your car, you can sync your Bluetooth, you can put it on your Bible app, boom. And from getting to where you are to work, you can listen to the whole book of Ephesians. You can put it on in the background while you're piddling around the house or working in the garage, and it's just God's word. You can hear it. You can hear it by looking at media. Oh my gosh, Pastor Jordan talked about Right Now Media. We have access to the best Bible teaching in the world. So you could go and listen to the best sermons, the best conferences, the best teaching by topic, by book. And you can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your computer. You can put it up on your TV. You can play it in the background. You're just hearing the Word of God. Podcasts. Your favorite Bible teacher, I'm guaranteeing you, has a podcast. I have a podcast. Truth That Changes Lives. You go to your phone and to your podcast app, type in Truth That Changes Lives. My picture will come up there. And you could listen to stuff I've been teaching for the past 16 years that we've been at church. And you could do that with any of your favorite Bible teachers. You can hear it through reading it. Just read it for yourself. You can read the Bible for yourself. Wow! In fact, if you will read 3 chapters a day, you'll read the Bible through in a year. So if you have that as a goal, you don't want to read the Bible through as a year. Some of you probably started off this year with full, you know, excitement about reading the Bible through the year, and then you hit the book of Leviticus and you haven't read it in a long time. But if you read 3 chapters a day, you'll read it through in a year. If you read 2 chapters a day in the New Testament, you'll read that through in 6 months. So here's my experience. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 16. My brother was very influential. I told him that I divided Christ in my life. He bought me a Bible. He says, you need to read it every day. So I started reading a chapter a night, every night before I went to bed. And it was the New Living Translation. It was just a New Testament, paperback. It was green, and in yellow was, you know, New Living Bible. I read a chapter every night. That was kind of towards the end of my junior year in high school. And now somewhere right before I graduated my senior year, I completely read through the New Testament. And God's Word just got a hold of my life, and I just grew in my relationship with Jesus. And so now I was going off to college, and I thought, I want to read through the Old Testament. So, you know, I'm just a dumb jock. I didn't know. I figure, okay, I remember thinking, this is the date right now. And I was going off. I was going to play football in college, so I had to report a little early in August. And I knew this is when I got to report up to school. And I calculated how many days were between this day and that day. And then I went to my Bible, and I didn't even do it by chapters. I went by page numbers, and I went to the last, you know, book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi. And I looked at the page number. Oh, it's, you know, and it was this many pages. And so I divided that by the number of days. And then I figured out if I read this many pages a day, I can read through the Old Testament before I go to college. So I did that. And I did it. And so now I'm at school. I was away from home. Free. I'm free. And I was in love with Jesus. And so I wanted to read the Old Testament and the New Testament. I took that Bible. It was an old New American Standard Bible. And I said, okay, how many pages do I need to read a day to read through the New Testament every 2 months? And how many pages do I need to read in a day to read through the Old Testament every 6 months? And then I read that many pages every day. And then every 2 months, read through the New Testament. Every 6 months, read through the Old Testament. Every 2 months, read through the New Testament. Every 6 months, read through the Old Testament. This was just how I began my Christian life. You can do it. You can do it. You can read it for yourself. So, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. So I want every person here to have a game plan. God wants to bless me. He blesses those who hear and obey His word. This is how I'm going to hear and obey His word. So hearing. So if you have never read the Bible yourself, this is something you've never done. It's never been a habit, not even something you ever did. So you're brand new. This is what I want you to do. Take the Gospel of John and read 1 chapter a day. That's it. The Gospel of John, read 1 chapter a day. You'll read through John's Gospel in less than a month. You'll read it through. And you'll say, man, I just read through the whole story about Jesus. And it's the story that tells me how to believe in the Son of God and have eternal life. That's how you can hear it, by just reading it for yourself. If you have done this before at some level, but it's kind of been start and stop. Just honestly, it's been start and stop. Then this is what I'd like you to do. Take the book of Proverbs in the Hebrew Scriptures. There's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. Take the day of the month and read that chapter of Proverbs. So on the first day, you read chapter 1. On the second day, you read chapter 2. On the third day, you read chapter 3. On the fourth day, you go all the way through. And you will read through the book of Proverbs in a month. Great book about wisdom, how to have wisdom in real life situations. So if you're stop and stop, hear the word by reading through the Proverbs. Let's just say you have some consistency. You've done this before, and it's pretty much part of your life. Here's what I encourage and challenge you to do. Take three chapters in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are 90 chapters, actually 89, if you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You take three chapters a day in the Gospels. 3 times 30 is 90, you will read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in a month. Start at Matthew 1, go all the way to John 21. In a month, you'll have read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wow, that's an accomplishment. You're hearing the word. Now, some of you are advanced Bible students, so you need to go to the next level, and that is personal Bible study. I mean, every day you take a chapter or a half a chapter or a paragraph and you break it down with pen and with pad and you write down, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? What am I going to do about it? And you do your own personal Bible study. You see, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, there's an application for hearing of the hearing and obeying condition to be blessed. But you can't just hear it. You got to do it. You got to keep it. You got to obey it. So, how can I obey the word? Well, let's start at the beginning, which is a very good place to start. Obey this sermon! Obey this sermon! Obey this sermon! You just heard God's word. Obey this sermon. And obey every sermon. Every week, you're going to be hearing God's word here at Crossline. Just don't just listen. Don't critique how eloquent I spoke. Don't talk about how loud I just yelled. Read this sermon. Say, God, what do you want me to do? I just heard your word. What's my application? And then resolve to do it. And then every time you read the Bible, or every time you're in a Bible discussion in a small group, or every time you hear it, listening to it, I just heard God speak to me. What am I going to do? So there's a prayerful commitment, prayerful reflection, because it gets resolved first in your heart, saying, okay, God, I want to be a doer. I want to be blessed. And that means I need to be a doer, not just a hearer. So what do you want me to do? I heard it. Now what am I supposed to do about it? That's a prayerful reflection. And then you come up with a proactive plan, okay? I heard it. I've prayerfully surrendered myself to God and said, I'm going to be a doer. So, and God said, this is how I want you to do it. And then you go, okay, I'm going to do that. And you actually plan it out. You think it through. You kind of project your day, week, life, relationships, and go, that's where I'm going to apply it. That's what I need to say. That's the decision I need to make. That's the way I need to live. That's the way I need to react if this happens. And then you take intentional action. And you receive course correction. This might be the hardest part. See, the Bible says, the book of Proverbs says, if you rebuke a wise man, they become even wiser. So you want to be obedient, and they're going to be loving and sometimes not so loving people who speak things to you. You can become defensive, or you can go, okay, I'm going to listen to that and ask God what he wants me to do with it. And sometimes God will say, that person's wacky, don't listen to him at all. sometimes he'll say, well, the way they did it was totally wrong, but there is something I want you to hear from it. Or sometimes he'll say, 90% of what they said, don't worry about, but here's 10% you should do something about. And you do it. And sometimes, being obedient, you take strategic inventory. So you actually plan one half day a month where you just kind of go, God, I'm going to spend alone with you. How am I doing in this obedience thing? How's my life? Is there anything that I've fallen short in? Am I doing a good job anywhere? Speak to me. And he'll give you affirmation and he'll give you direction. Because you want to be obedient. Why? Because you want to be blessed. Blessed are those who hear and obey my word. I got a buddy who's a pastor up in Northern California, and he said this to me on several occasions. I kind of remember it, but he remembers it much more specifically. He said that he had a conversation with me that totally changed his life. So I was on Campus Crusade staff, crew staff at UC Santa Barbara. I had the privilege of kind of mentoring him, and we were sitting in the student union one day, and he just said, JP, I just don't feel like God speaks to me from the Bible. I don't know how to get direct. I read it, and it just doesn't seem like anything's changing. I don't know how to spend time with the Lord in a way that's meaningful. And I said, okay, open your Bible. He did. I said, open to 2 Timothy 3. He did. I said, read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. For all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then I said, so based on that promise of God, what is God's word profitable for in a person's life? And I just used the words that were right there. And he said, well, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, equipping for good works. I said, okay, so do you think that applies to you as well as it applied to Timothy when Paul wrote it? He goes, yeah, that's what God's word does for us. I said, okay, take out, he had a little legal pad that he uses for taking notes in school and class. I said, take that out, put columns on there so that you have five columns. And he did. And I said, now, right at the top of this one, teaching, and at the top of this one, rebuking, and the top of this one, correcting, and the top of this one, training, and then top of this one, equipping. So now this is what I want you to do. When you read through the Bible and you read a verse or a group of verses or a paragraph, I want you to stop and then say, what is this teaching me? And write that down. And then say, how is this rebuking me? Is it pointing out any sin in my life or any weakness or any area where I fall short? And if it does, write that down. And then ask, how does this correct me? How can I put this truth in the Bible into practice in my life right now? And whatever God says, you write that down. And then say, okay, training in righteousness. How can I live obediently to this, not just right now, but tomorrow, the next day, and afterwards? How can I be trained by this? Write that down. And then ask, okay, how does this truth equip me for good works, to be a witness for Christ, or to be a servant, or to bless other people? What good work can I do based on this? And write that down. And so every time you read the Bible, read it with application in mind. Read it with intentionality to be a doer and not just a hearer. He will tell you, he's told me this on several occasions, that changed his life. Changed the whole direction of his life. God wants to bless us. He really does. And God blesses us when we hear and obey his word. Let's be hearers and doers. Let's be blessed. Father, I pray for myself. I pray for everyone listening online. I pray for everyone here on our campus that we would take you at your word. We would rejoice that you are a blesser. We'd receive this word about how to be blessed, and we would resolve, even with this sermon and with this message and with this scripture, to not just hear it, but to do what it says, so that we can step into the blessing that you have over our lives. God, I pray you bless every person. Bless them in every way that you can bless a person. Bless them with your word so that we can live the fullness of life that Jesus came to give us, because he came to bless us. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So team, we just heard a great promise from Jesus on how to be blessed. let's be blessed people by not just hearing it, but by doing what God has said to do. God bless you. We'll see you next week.